Calling all units, calling all units. Donut shop has a fresh dozen. Go ahead and take a 1040.
Salute, my brother. Salute. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Donut Shop Podcast, broadcasting live today. But when you're hearing it, this is pre-recorded from Feds Apparel, located in Davie.
In Davie.
That's right. Feds Apparel is a company that outfits a lot of federal agencies out there. So, and they also do uniforms. So if you need anything, visit fedsapparel.com. Again, it's fedsapparel.com.
And check out the Nick Off Duty section.
It's like you heard me say that before. I have a section on a website, fedsapparel.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you should go there and check it out.
What can I get there?
You can get a police car shirt, a police car's hat.
I need those.
Yeah, and I got new merch on the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hell
yeah.
OTW.
Yeah. Well, anyways, and hopefully we'll get some new mugs and put them out there.
Can we keep talking about merch and talk about Chris's merch?
No. We have, Chris's merch. Yeah, what you're wearing, his shirt. You can't see it behind the thing. It's one of his shirts.
Classic
is
design.
Is that the rhino or is that the gorilla? Because he has a rhino and a gorilla.
The rhino is the classic.
I have the gorilla in green.
Design. The gorilla.
TBT.
I'm telling you, these Howitzer shirts, I've got a couple of them. I have two of yours, awesome. And then I have a couple other just like general brand ones. And they're a comfy shirt.
Is the are you still with Howitzer?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. What do you got going
on? Howitzer is a blessing, man. Those guys have been nothing but fantastic. Mm-hmm. Ben is my guy.
Name dropping.
Ben Kern. He's my guy. He's fantastic, man. He calls me up all the time. Hey, I got an idea. This last idea is Rockstar. We got a brand new shirt. Hasn't been released yet.
Ooh.
And it is coming to a computer screen near you for order.
All right, and that's on your TTOG.
No, that's on Howitzer.
That's on Howitzer OG.
Howitzer manufacturing.com.
And I think they accept Apple Pay.
So ah.
No, it's good.
Well, that I think, is that a competing company? I think we'll bleep that out. I'm just kidding. Yo, go get the merch.
Go get the
everyone,
merch.
Everyone, yeah, more merch. Anyways, we got the Tactical Rhino back on the podcast.
Here I am.
So much since the last time we've seen you here on a Donut Shop. One of the most viewed podcasts. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to burp. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. We've talked about the different SWAT positions on SWAT.
Yes.
Which was a lot. It was like the sniper, waterborne. Go check it out. The breacher.
Assaulter. Trainer.
Boom. All that stuff. Go check it out. We talked for like an hour and change.
It was like
about
our second episode ever, I think, or third episode ever.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Number one requested guest to come back. You know, not to put anybody
Thank
else
you.
Down, but they were like, bring him on. Bring back the rhino.
He's here. He has shapeshifted.
Ooh.
Into the gorilla.
Ooh.
Whoa.
You're a shapeshifter.
Correct. A
little leaner, a little faster.
Yeah.
Stronger.
A lot leaner.
Yeah. You on a special diet? A
lot faster. The life diet.
The life diet.
That's currently what I'm on right now.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Moving forward.
Okay. It happens, baby.
100%.
That's all right. You could be like me and get comfortable down in the waist section.
Absolutely.
I was telling Nick earlier, I said, I was going through old videos because I'm trying to post, here's a plug for our Clips channel, DSP Boom. Clips, mm-hmm. Doing a little shorter content on that one to drive people over here to the long content. But I was like, man, there are many faces of Nick when you look at it. Like there's different skin complexions, there's beard, no beard, hair, no hair, different hairstyles. Like,
but
this
he
guy,
remains hot.
Boom, all of
through
them.
Through the duration of it.
I think I'm going to start a calendar with just me.
You could.
Different versions of me.
You could.
Right now, what you're looking at is the winter got off of the holiday cookies.
Daddy.
Comfortable in
right
the
now you're looking at
diet.
Nicholas.
That's right. Saint Nicholas.
Correct.
I'm trying to shed the jolly old Nick and get back into the keto Nick and the working out Nick. But yeah, I'm here. But and you're here.
Correct.
And Justin's here.
Oh, hey. I'm over here.
Yeah. Wanted to bring you on, talk about what has been going on. I know there's a lot. You've grown exponentially on Instagram for sure. Last time we spoke, you shot up and you're over 50,000 on Instagram. You've been putting out content. We can talk a little bit about the different approach that you've gotten.
Sure.
And because I do social media. I don't know if you know. I do social media and I'm very interested in the different tactics that grow your channel, especially in your niche, which is training.
Firearms,
firearms,
which is usually a little, you know, not is frowned upon a little bit on social media, right?
Like, it's hard to grow.
It is hard to grow there.
Shadow banned. Absolutely. This episode's probably going to get shadow banned.
And that is something that I'm definitely dealing with even now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Somebody hit me up the other day on a DM, and they were like, hey, Chris, I had to actually type out TTOG underscore LLC plug. That is the Instagram page, by the way, the handle. And he said I had to put out the whole name.
Yeah.
And it still didn't pop up number one.
Wow.
He said I still had to go down and search for it. And I was like, cool, man. Thanks for the heads
Sometimes
up.
I have to go to like other places where I know it was tagged. Sure. And then, you know, because like Coleon Noir will say the same sort of thing. You know, you have to go and type.
What is that?
Coleon Noir. It's a guy.
Isn't it Colin Noir?
Coleon.
Yes.
Is it Coleon?
It sounds awesome.
Oh, so that's the joke.
Is it Colin?
It's Colin. I don't know.
Is it Colin Noir?
Wasn't it Coleon Farrell that was in the movie SWAT?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Oh, is that what?
Is it Coleon? It's Colin?
Yeah, it's Colin.
You sure it's Colin?
Yeah, it's Colin.
Oh, okay.
Is it Colin? You've ever met Coleon before?
No.
Coleon, man. Come on.
All right. Sorry, man. I'm sure he's watching, so I apologize.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shut you down, but yeah, Coleon did say... I'm saying it now because that sounds funny. He did say
it's a cooler way of saying it.
He did mention about the shadow ban stuff.
Sounds French.
Absolutely.
It does.
Well, I mean, it's a real thing. You know, the tactical industry as a whole, because it involves firearms and just the publicity that comes from the negative side of the house towards firearms and the public opinion on them, it seems to be more of a...
Yeah.
Hush them up a little bit. And so they'll put a shadow ban and prevent your content from really making it out there.
And gun manufacturers and firearm companies, they're not allowed to market. So by you showing showing a tactic and you're using whatever gun or firearm it is, it kind of is like marketing for
them. It's like a loop. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where they're like, we're going to suppress this content. Absolutely. Because you can't be marketing.
Absolutely.
And that's where it comes into a little bit of a conundrum when your company is based on training.
Correct.
For that.
Correct.
So, but you've managed to grow, and whether it be through what I want to see more of you is like a little bit more behind the scenes, BTSs. I think you travel a lot, and you're at a lot of different things, and a range is a range. But why not show a little bit about wherever you just landed or what? You know what I mean? I think that'll be dope to see and follow along with your story, because you're becoming a fascinating character out there traveling around.
Wow!
Hey, how about a video of how do I travel with my firearms?
Ooh, do you?
Yes.
Like a whole onslaught, like a whole luggage case full of them, or do you put them in a guitar case, like Desperado?
What a fantastic movie.
Was it not?
Yeah. Come on.
Yes!
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
At the height.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Selma Hayek.
Mm-hmm.
Guitar case.
Amazing.
I'm more of the guy with the torpedo one.
That's awesome.
With the leg out.
That leg split.
Yeah, that leg split.
Hell yeah.
I used to do that all the time as a joke.
You young fans and followers have no idea.
Yeah, it was a good, very, very good movie. Very awesome. They don't make movies like that anymore.
No.
They don't make movies like that. But so you've been around the nation, traveling around, and this is why I wanted to make you tell a little bit more of that story, but whatever, you're here in a podcast, we'll talk about it. You've done a SWAT convention, right? Which is, what was that again? You could tell it.
It's in Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the SWAT Roundup.
Yeah. So, Justin, you said you've been.
Yeah, I used to do like an internship there through college because I went to UCF, and so they have it in Orlando, and it's real big, and so they needed college interns to help run some of the events and do some of the stuff. So it was cool to see all the interaction and SWAT teams from around the world, around the country, and it's just to see things like, I mean, Miami might have it, but it's, you know, Dallas PD 1, Dallas PD 2, Dallas PD 3, like the PDs, all the different multi teams and stuff. Because granted, I was in college, so this was early 2000s.
Is it more like an Olympic style thing, or is it a training seminar?
It's
or
both.
Is it both. Yeah.
So it's both. The first 2 days is training,
mm-hmm.
where the seminar portion, you're actually, when you sign up, you're able to attend courses through the designated instructors that have been brought in.
Mm.
So the officers are able to select who they would like to train with. If the course is available, they're in it. So they'll actually get solid training, and then they'll be part of the competition.
Nice. So you went to teach?
Correct.
How did you get linked up with that?
I was asked to.
Nice. I mean, obviously. I was asked to. I mean, did you just show up? I can train.
No.
I mean,
so
he's out front with a sign, yeah. Just like, pick me.
So Florida SWAT Association is based out of Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they are pretty much, I would say, Palm Beach North. I don't want to say governing because nobody really governs SWAT teams.
Yeah.
But they would be more like the facilitator for training for all of the teams through Florida up to Palm Beach.
What's a vetting process like that to become a instructor for that? You just got to know, like, hey, I've taken this guy's courses before. He's squared away. Or do you have to have some kind of certification?
So I was a member of Florida SWAT for a long time. And that's actually where I obtained a lot of my skill set from. So I grew up in Kissimmee, by the way. So, you know, I'm from Central Florida. I had received a phone call from a gentleman named Paul. And he called me and he said, hey, Chris, heard a lot of great stuff about you. I'd like to get you up here, do some training for Florida SWAT. I did that. That was in 2021, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Went up there, did some training for a big group of guys. It was probably about 55 or 60 students over the course of 2 days. And it was a success. Everybody from Orange County Sheriff's Office to Seminole County, all the way up to the Panhandle, they'll send their trainers and they'll attend the course. So they're able to take back the information and spread load it.
Train the trainer type.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's the objective, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a very humbling feeling for me to say, man, I remember being a young SWAT dude and going, man, these guys know a lot of shit. This is cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually 15 years later being asked to be the one that comes out and says, hey, man, can you actually put this on? Yeah, no problem. Give me a date. Let's go.
Do you see yourself as that guy from before? Or do you still think like, man, I'm nowhere where these guys were?
In which regard?
Like looking at my instructors in the police academy and then actually moving forward in my career teaching at the police academy. It's like, do I see myself as qualified as these guys, the way that a young bootnik saw my instructor and was like, wow. And I'm like, man, I wonder if these recruits are looking at me like that because I don't feel as though. And what I'm getting at is like, kind of like what we were talking off camera is like, I never feel like I made any, like I'm never made it. People look at me and they ask me about, oh, you're an expert in social media. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing on social media. I got so much to learn. So what I mean is like, how do you feel about yourself being at that SWAT convention or the training and then comparing yourself as to the way you saw those other guys? Do you think that you're equivalent to what they are?
First, it was a privilege to be invited up there to do it.
Yeah.
I don't believe that I would compare myself to any of those guys or in the regard to how do these kids look at me.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a understanding that through my tenure as a SWAT officer, I experienced, I guess, the brunt of what you're really aiming for, and which is ultimately a lot of operations, a lot of training, and a lot of experience comes from that. Just because you have that, though, let me add, that doesn't mean you're a good instructor.
Yeah.
So what I've been able to do is still have that. If you're a true trainer to heart, you're always a student.
Yeah.
So I think that that's kind of where that is, where I'm like, I don't think I would compare myself to them. Maybe my mindset's different about it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the acceptability factor of, hey, why am I here? I mean, I understand why I'm there, and it's definitely a privilege. But I'm going through my own process as well, where I still train all the time. Mm. And I'm still trying to learn and grow more as an individual shooter. So
kind of like you're not, if it's an A to Z, you're not at Z. You're somewhere in those RSTs. but you could teach the hell out of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K to anybody. And you still got stuff to learn down the road. You still got to learn that other side of the alphabet. Whereas I've done this side, I'm squared away with this. I can teach you guys this and what I've, at least of what I've learned. Is that what you're like more or less saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. I would say probably not at the RST, because that's, you're getting towards the latter portion of the alphabet at that point.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we don't live that long. Mm. You know, mm. human beings, you, what's an average lifespan?
Mm. You know, 120.
That's probably RST if it was.
That's
if
where
it
I'm
was
headed.
Real.
Yeah.
You know, the truth of the matter is it's humbling. I'm committed to what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I excel at it because of that commitment. I'm disciplined when it comes to prioritizing training, but I'm also disciplined to still remain a student,
yeah,
and remain humble and understand what your weaknesses are so that you can personally exploit them. Because the truth of the matter is, and the reality with anything in life, you have to give yourself a brutally honest assessment. And I explain this to whether it's recruits or students attending a class, even within the confines of your own bedroom doing a dry fire program. If you just say to yourself, oh, that was okay, that was good enough, you're not going to improve. If you tell yourself that was shit and I got to tighten that up, then you'll improve, because now you're seeking a process. And during that process, no matter how difficult it may become for you to actually achieve the goals that you set forth for yourself, you'll learn to enjoy it.
You ever, because you're saying that you're always open. You're a student of the game. You're teaching, but you're also a student of the game. You ever get something out there when you're teaching one of your courses, and you're like, damn, that's actually really good, and I didn't think of it like that? Or are you just like, not on my line? We're taking my course. Respect my course.
You mean if a student provides a different option?
Yeah.
It depends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends. You know, there's 1,000 ways to skin a cat.
Yep.
You know, so the reality is if they bring something to the table that's actually noteworthy and relevant towards what's happening in that moment, absolutely. Why not be able to take that, maybe look at it a little bit more in depth before you decide to say, hey, man, that's actually really good, and yeah, I'm going to adopt that. That's awesome.
Yeah. What about somebody who's not relevant? You ever have anyone trying to hijack your class?
Sure.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that?
You ask them to shoot next to you?
Mm-hmm. And what is that? And like got them by the ear or something?
No, you just ask them to shoot next to you.
Just so that they don't rub off on everybody else with the bad practice?
No, it's just a way of
asserting dominance.
It's rehumbling them.
Mm.
Because there are people that will show up to try to hijack a course. You know, at the end of the day, people are paying for a professional service. So
from you.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not looking to see what Justin has to say. I'm signing up for Justin's
class.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess it goes towards that old adage that was mentioned by the Sways in Roadhouse.
Oh, man.
Where he said, be nice until you don't have to be nice anymore.
Okay.
And I will afford the opportunity to be nice
mm-hmm.
as long as I need to before I have to shut it down, which hasn't happened very often. I will be honest, you know. Have I had other people show up to my class, attend the class, and then start putting out their program or trying to talk about that? Sure.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them, hey, man, talk about that offline, outside of here.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So you mean you don't want anybody just poaching your while you're there?
Right.
Take my course, learn it, do what you want to do. You can regurgitate it all you want, do everything, but do it outside of my house.
So here's the thing. Within this industry of firearms teaching,
yeah,
certain things are already set in stone.
Yeah.
This is a gun.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you draw it. This is how you present it. Let's build up efficiency. Let's build up hard skills to really get you where you need to be. The name of the game is efficiency. So if somebody comes and they're already pretty fundamentally sound, what changes isn't the training itself. It's the way you deliver the message. And if this person here has been drawing their gun in a very inconsistent manner. Not even drawing, presenting the gun in a very inconsistent manner. And just through paying a little bit more attention, you can diagnose on the spot what they're doing and give them a piece of advice and say, hey, try this. Because of this, it may alter the rest of the way for them to go now, because it kind of changes their perception on what they were doing. I've had students tell me that all the time. They're like, dude, I've gone to 1,000 classes. This is the first time that somebody's actually taken the time to tell me exactly what I'm doing wrong and give me a piece of advice on how to correct it because of how it's failing.
Mm.
And they're like, okay, cool, man. Like,
right, you know?
So that's that's kind of your tactics, I guess, not tactics, but your teaching methods is, as opposed to somebody who can, everyone's going to teach you how to draw the same way and do the same thing, but you're now breaking down that little step-by-step, maybe something that they have a deficiency in, they didn't call it out, and that's what sets you apart from the rest, at least why you're being... I mean, numbers don't lie. So your success doesn't, there's something behind it.
Sure.
You know, so I would say that. But I think we got to take a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to see if maybe I come up with this training question that I have that I don't see too much of out there. And I want to get your take on it and how I think we should at least incorporate some kind of training with that. And with that being said,
let's go.
We'll take a quick break.
Are you a police officer? Are you an investigator? Well, it is time to take your investigation to a whole new level, and let's get some of those cases closed. I'm talking about the one and only CIT Criminal Investigation Training Group. Guys, Freddie and his team can come to your police department and bring their training courses, such as interview and interrogation, advanced interview and interrogation, crime scene analysis, homicide investigations, criminal law, case preparation and court presentation, and much, much more. If you'd like to find out more information, please contact Freddie Ponce, Detective Freddie Ponce, yes, you've seen him on the First 48, at contact@freddieponce.com. Or you could check out www.criminalinvestigationtraininggroup.com. All right, let's get back to the show.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Hey, good break.
I want to talk about this, man. I haven't seen none of this out here, man. I need some more of this stuff.
Let's discuss.
Yeah, so what I'm getting at is you see some when there's an officer-involved shooting, right? You go to the range. Let's bring it back. You go to the range. There's a lot of drawing, static drawing the pistol, squaring off to the target, and that's a purpose. You're building the fundamentals
there it is.
Of firearms, of drawing your weapon,
correct.
Presenting your weapon, the trigger pull, all that stuff. What I don't see, and maybe there's a reason why, and you can explain it, or maybe you do it, and maybe I just haven't seen it, you haven't put it on Instagram, and then shame on you. You should be better at marketing. Is when so sometimes there's an officer involved shooting. They already have there's maybe a subject with a knife. They see the subject with a knife. They take out their weapon. Pointing it at the subject. Subject rushes after several commands, yada, yada, yada. They already know I might get into a shooting with this. My gun is presented. Then there's other times where you get caught off guard. Somebody swings out of a window of a car and starts firing. And a lot of the first reaction is to that oh, shit, where they tuck in the turtle tuck and then maybe retreat to try to get cover or backpedaling. Where is that oh, shit factor? I got to draw my weapon, identify where this is coming from, and then start shooting. I don't see a lot of that at the range. And I try to do that on my own whenever I have the time, when I'm at the range. I just try to, like, not look at where I'm going to look at. And then when they say threat, I act like I'm talking. I do this with my hands, and I'm moving, try to make it realistic. And then I, oh, threat, where I grab my firearm, try to position myself and then, shoot at wherever the threat is. Why don't we see a training like that? It's a little unorthodox because you're going to be, squeezing rounds, hopefully, but a lot of police shootings is not going to be the presenting the firearm, getting a good grip, and shooting. It's going to be like, I got to get a couple rounds off. And maybe your third or fourth round, you're then getting into a good rhythm. But it's like, oh, my God, I got to return fire off of this. Do you see any of that training? Do you see that as a maybe a positive that we could incorporate stuff like that? Or do you see it not practical because of maybe, you know, safety behaviors or skill set of the officers or whoever we're trying to train is not there yet?
So, correct. The skill set of the officers, for the most part, it's not there yet.
But let me push back real quick on that.
Okay.
But they're out there. So whether they're not capable because they're a poopy bag, you know, and they're just not proficient, they have jelly donuts on their slides, they still can be presented with that situation tomorrow.
Sure.
On a traffic stop or whatever.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a – and it's not you. I'm not – this is – I just wanted to – just to put reiterate that it's not your course. It's, I don't see it anywhere. And I think
right.
It should be something, at least if not the whole course, but we should practice that, you know, by surprise. But go ahead.
So I think baseline fundamentals as far as shooting without involving tactics, because after drawing the gun, you're now talking about trying to advantageously move to a position of cover where you can identify a threat, start putting accurate rounds on target, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I think the priority would be better set to build an actual shooter that can hit what they're actually aiming at from 5 to 7 yards away on a flat static range with no pressure, because that is a very difficult thing to do within law enforcement. It is surprising. It's appalling at the amount of police officers that are not good shooters. They're not confident with their guns. They don't have a skill set that they've been able to develop into something that is advantageous to their position, because you should be able to run a gun the exact same way that you run your mouth to get you out of a situation, the exact same way that you write a report after an incident occurs. And that goes kind of by the wayside, where in life, the priority would be life. So in order to protect lives, we're issued weapons. And it's my belief that training within a department can only go as far as the trainers have gone themselves.
Mm.
And that's the truth.
Yep.
Other than that, you're going to have 40-hour experts that go and attend a course, and they come back and now provide a PowerPoint, and they're teaching you something that they just learned 40 hours on, and they're trying to explain to you why it now needs to be done this way.
Yeah.
I also believe that that is a very good way to pass along misinformation, because to truly become a subject matter expert on any one thing, it takes a little bit longer than 40 hours.
Yeah.
So the relevancy behind a shooter's inability to do what you said, be responsive, which is first and foremost what they should be instead of reactive. Being responsive and understanding what needs to get done at that very moment once shots start coming in, or whatever type of scenario they're involved in where definitive quick action needs to be taken, I think that all starts on a flat static range, but you got to build that skill set correctly.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to diagnose what you're doing wrong, and you have to be able to put in corrective measures. You know, people often, the biggest thing I ever see is grip. Grip to me is the most important fundamental. Grip is that one thing that everybody is always trying to obtain, the perfect grip of the gun. What is the perfect grip? Well, when you're in a police department and your qualification tells you to fire 6 rounds in 30 seconds, you're not challenging your grip at all. When it tells you to fire 2 rounds and you're stacking them on top of each other, you're like, shit, I'm a pistol sniper. Reality is you're not.
Yeah.
Because now have them shoot a volley of an entire magazine and see what happens.
It's all over the place.
People don't realize how firm really is.
Yeah.
Because that's what you hear. You should hold the pistol in a firm manner. Right. But how firm is that?
Yeah.
You should hold that thing really, really firm, really, really hard. And you can only get to an understanding of that when you run high round count drills where you start exploiting grip. But what does that mean? So if I have an individual that I'm training and I'm trying to exploit his weakness within his grip, that's going to be a lot of ammo.
Yeah.
For one shooter. Now you're talking about multiple shooters. Now you're talking about incurring costs that perhaps we can circumvent and put the money somewhere else. When the reality is, to me, the better trained your force is, the more confident the individual officers will be.
Right.
The more decisive their action will be and deliberate in the event that they do need to take a life, but they'll make a better decision under stress, which could mitigate making a bad one.
Yeah.
And shooting a person and having a bad shoot situation.
Yeah, if you're confident in your skill set, you know that I can put rounds on target and I'm already out of my holster and everything is good and I'll be good. I keep my distance even though he has a knife, he's not charging. Whereas, you know, a knife and then the first step and you're, you know, yards away from this, you know, several yards away from this person, I'm talking maybe like, I don't know, 30, I don't know, 25. You're not going to start squeezing. Oh my God. Because I can handle this at this point. I'm confident in my skill set that I'll be able to handle this. Whereas maybe somebody's not proficient. They're like, I don't know if I'm going to survive this.
Correct.
I need to handle this right now.
It's a much different feeling for the individual officer knowing I'll take this motherfucker zero to hero very quickly and be able to preserve life or take it if I need to versus you're zero to 100 for something that realistically that other officer that has the confidence is at about a level 5 and completely understands that the situation could be diffused and de-escalated appropriately. Yeah. So that's all it is. It's just a confidence game.
That's everything that has to, in training in general, if you're talking about martial arts, if you're talking about jiu-jitsu, if you have officers that's well-versed or even familiar with jiu-jitsu and they get, we spoke about this on another podcast, you get knocked to your ass and you're on your back. Well, I'm more apt to be comfortable. I'm comfortable back here. We start on our backs. This is fine. I know what I'm doing here, as opposed to the guy who never got knocked on their back.
Or who's a wrestler.
And there's like, oh my God, I got knocked on my back. I'm about to die. They're going to go for my gun. Right. I'm going to die. I got to take my gun and start shooting because you're not comfortable on your back. So it's, I guess that, you know, it's the same thing as firearms. I'm proficient. I'm good. I know what I'm doing. I'm smooth. Smooth is fast. Fast is smooth. Is that something that they still say? Because everything changes. Smooth is fast and fast is smooth. No, fast is fast.
I'm sure it is something that they say.
I got it on a t-shirt.
So. I will tell you.
I got a tattoo. When last time you came over, oh man, I'm getting me a tattoo. Say smooth is fast.
I'm sure smooth is fast. And that's an old adage that I used to hear in the Marine Corps all the time. Smooth is fast.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be efficient.
Yeah.
So efficiency is the name of the game in pretty much everything in life. Mm-hmm. And if you can understand what you're doing biomechanically, break every step down individually from your draw presentation to squeezing the trigger back, if you're able to identify and exploit weaknesses that you're consistently having within those individual areas and then bring it all together, then you're going to build yourself to be a better shooter. Now, once you're a better shooter, then you can start delving into advanced type of shooting, which it's not really that advanced. It's the practical application of it. It's what the competitive side of the house does.
Yeah.
It's really running and gunning. It's remaining hard target focus. It's understanding different sight schemes from different distances that are dictated by backdrops or location that you're at.
Yeah.
You know, so understanding those dynamics is much easier once you already have the hard skills set in place.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, what you're saying is like those, I guess you need to start that foundation, and then from that foundation, then you can take that and start applying it to moving, running and gunning. All that. But if you don't have that foundation, you're just going to be, you can't skip it is what you're saying.
Well, let's think about what you just said. It's like trying to build a house on a really weak foundation and thinking about which impact windows you're going to put on the third floor when the foundation is still shaky below.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so you can't get to that until your stability is where it needs to be to really grow. And, you know, one of the biggest problems that people have within that realm is ego, because people don't like failure. And if people feel that they're not good at something, they're going to bypass doing it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Unless they're forced to do it, which is what happens within what? A police department.
Yeah.
You'll even have people calling out of annual training.
Oh, yeah.
Which is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But you have to look at it, or at least I look at it from a different perspective. I look at it like this is an unobtainable journey, because here you seek perfection. Here you seek the top of the mountain. There is no top of the mountain. It's just keep climbing that motherfucker and see how high you can really go. Push yourself to different destinations that you never even thought you would get to. You know, you start really throwing different things into the mix where you're like, wow, I didn't even know I was capable of this. But then you stop, you look around and you're like, I'm nowhere near where I want to be.
Yeah.
And you're just hungry and you keep going and you keep going in the pursuit of it.
That's what I wanted to ask you is that, do you ever, because you've been all over the nation teaching, right? And you were in Texas and California and just all over the nation.
Yeah.
Ever a point where you're like, I made it. I'm here.
No.
I'm never. Rocking out right now.
Never.
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 That's a good attitude to have.
I look at it like I am right now at rock bottom in my life.
That's how you got to be.
Because the minute that I say that I'm not.
Dead.
I really will be.
Yeah.
And the reality of life is we're probably about to take a break.
Ooh, segue.
Oh, man. Real quick, wanted to talk to you about Battle Warrior Coffee. I know the owners personally. They're fellow law enforcement officers. I told them that I would shout them out. I've had their coffee. It is delicious. So it's a veteran-owned, law enforcement-operated company originated out of Miami, Florida. It started by three Army veterans turned police officers who say coffee got them through many difficult times through their career and still does today. Their goal is to get every warrior to overcome their personal battles one cup of coffee at a time. Visit their website at battlewarriorcoffee.com or follow them on IG at Battle Warrior Coffee. Again, at Battle Warrior Coffee. Use the code DONUT and get 15% off your first order, or you can visit them at fedsapparel.com. They're under veteran-owned companies and Leo-owned companies. There's also a discount code there for 15% off by using DONUT. DONUT gets you 15% off. Just put DONUT everywhere you go and you get 15% off of this coffee. All right, let's get back to the show.
We're back.
Back from break. Randall popped in, said hello.
From where? Feds Apparel?
Fedsapparel.com.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's the man.
Very nice.
So we were talking a little bit about hitting rock bottom. I guess that was how we figured.
Yeah, it's been, absolutely.
That was a long break. So
sure.
So that obtains two. Not only your growth in training, right? But also sometimes you do that in life where you...
Or even the brand.
What is that?
Like TTOG and stuff.
TTO, you guys hit rock bottom? We didn't hit rock bottom.
We ain't hit rock bottom.
Ain't no hit rock bottom.
No.
TTOG, yeah. So, they're on fire, son. They're like a phoenix being reborn.
We just, you know, it's funny.
I like how he just stays in character.
It's funny that you actually just said that.
Are you?
That's, yeah.
All right, so like there's a phoenix. The next shirt, phoenix.
There's a deeper meaning behind that. Mm-hmm. But the reality is what I was going with was... You have to take a skill set where you start redlining and you fail. And that failure point will be a rock bottom for you to rise from the ashes, because you will learn lessons within that failure that will propel you to that next level. You know, that's where guys like JJ Ricaza came from.
I don't know who's that.
He is one of the absolute best shooters in the world on the competitive side.
I don't know. I'm not afraid to say it either.
I believe right now he just won the world national. So former federal agent, actually. He was probably outfitted by Feds Apparel.
Oh, hey!
Whoa, plug. P-lug.
Oh, snap, son.
But the truth is having that perspective, you realize something. It's not just something that pertains to shooting or tactics. It pertains to life in general.
Yeah.
When you stray from purpose in pursuit of other things, you reach failure points.
You think you failed in TTOG first in an aspect, not the company, but just a person who's driving TTOG? Do you think you failed TTOG?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No, this has nothing to do. TTOG is prospering.
Yeah.
TTOG has taken a momentary pause as everything has been refocused towards a shift. So one thing you realize when you open a company and you're a
former serviceman. You haven't been putting on classes.
No, of course I have. No, what I mean is you'll only go so far in this industry by just putting on classes.
So it's okay.
You know, you'll only make so much money.
Mm-hmm.
There is a peak that you will reach.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are happy with that, then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you realize is that here I am. This is what I've done, both in the military. This is what I've done within law enforcement. And now I've established a company that has prospered. And you realize this needs to grow. And you realize the first thing that needs to happen is you need to be a businessman.
Yeah.
And you need to treat it like a business. And you need to treat yourself like an employee. And that's something that, for the most part, I really didn't establish because I didn't have the guidance. You know, I don't have somebody, or I didn't have somebody that was there to say, hey, you need to try this, 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 and that, to impart wisdom from that side of the house. So things with the company and from within have shifted in a course where it's now back into the process and the pursuit, because there's a lot of big things that are going to happen. Knocked out a close quarters tactics class yesterday, full house.
Yeah.
Full house. First class of the year was a complete sellout.
Is that the first time instructing that?
No, not at all.
No.
First time in a while, though. And we knocked that out at the Condition One group training site. Dave, thank you.
Shout out.
Absolutely. And we had a blast.
Yeah.
You go in there, you get to speak to people to impart wisdom, give them some guidance to better prepare themselves for dangerous encounters that happen within structures and or confined spaces, and have a good time doing it. So even yesterday, you'll see people reach failure points and they get frustrated. And I guess the one thing that I've learned, especially over the course of the last 7 months in my life, is life's a series of decisions, right?
Yep.
That's all it is. Life's just a series of decisions. Good, bad, or indifferent, that's what it really falls down to. So having made decisions that could have been made better.
You're talking about on your personal side.
Correct, okay. Yes. Has brought me to a point where I've never grown so much as a man than I have in the last 7 months of my life, where you really are able to take a step back and give an honest, fair assessment of who exactly you are. Not who you wish people to see you as, but who are you?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think finally reaching a point where understanding your self-worth becomes the priority. Because if you are at a point where and I'll speak specifically for me, and maybe some viewers out there can relate to it.
Yeah.
If you're a father, you have to be the priority. Because if you're not good, your children will suffer. Mm-hmm. And I know that kind of sounds a little bit backwards. I don't mean the priority in the sense of not putting the kids first above anything else. The priority as far as ensuring that you are good.
That you're squared away.
And you are where you need to be.
Yeah.
And you will do whatever it takes for you to get where you need to be in order for your children to not suffer, or your family to suffer, or your other half to suffer. And I think that through failure points, you get to a point as a man where you take that step back, you get that moment of clarity, right? So that's a thing in alcoholism. I'm not an alcoholic, but I am a cop. And yeah. I know that cops, when we speak amongst each other, they say, oh man, moment of clarity. I actually looked up where that came from, and that's actually what I read. So it's that moment where you're sitting there and you're like, huh, it's this.
Yeah.
And when you can take accountability and responsibility for your own actions and everything that you have done, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, I think that what that does is it will set a compass bearing north where you will not stray from that again, understanding that purpose in life and being able to be driven by that purpose with the objective of it being the kids are the priority.
Yeah.
I think that that's what will realistically take men to that next level, you know? And it's not the hype, the bullshit, the NVGs, the fucking lasers, all the cool gear. It's none of that. It's none of that. That's all just equipment.
Yep.
It's not real. It's objects that we use. It's tools that we use for a profession. I believe that the person that wears that, what lies in here and beats in their chest, is realistically what sets that path and that course to go in the right direction. And I believe that second chances, not only at life, I guess you can say, after major downfalls, but it could parallel to the range as well. A second chance is a second breath, reborn. And that's where I'm at now. Because I'll tell you, tactically, the first failure point that I ever reached within my SWAT career was when I failed my first SWAT school, and it was with the pistol. And given that I was the way that I am as an individual, I immediately told myself that will never happen again. And it's like a switch just goes on. And when that switch went on, I made it a point to pursue training harder than I ever have, where it became a way of life for me.
Did you seek outside help with the training, or you just kind of like doing yourself?
Absolutely. It's like police training. Remember what I said. You'll only be able to go as far as the trainer has gone.
Yeah.
So the reality is to get better, you're only going to be able to take yourself so far. You need outside resources to be brought in to say, hey, by the way, you're not doing that right. Try this. This is more efficient. Not that you're doing it wrong. Let me fix that. Let me correct that. Not that you're doing it wrong, but there's more efficient ways to do it.
Yeah, try it this way. Yeah.
Right. So then you start adopting different methodologies and rebuilding.
You ever heard of Bob Keller?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Good dude.
I've trained with Bob.
Mm. He's absolutely. He's good. He has that mentality about try it this way, or like you're not doing, like there's, like you said, a thousand ways to skin a cat. Try it this way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes going towards the more.
Gotta get him on the podcast. Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bob, I'll give you a call tonight. See if you want to come on the podcast.
All right.
I'll give him a call.
Sorry. Sorry to take your. This is your moment. Sorry.
I love Bob.
Yeah.
Actually, when I went to his class, he came out and trained our team. I did a shirt that said, I love Bob. And I wore it, and he couldn't stop laughing.
He has a rifle. He has his own rifle.
And the signature rifle.
Yeah, I have it. That's the rifle that I bought.
It's a nice rifle.
But it is not the welded, pin and welded.
Pin and welded.
Yeah, they didn't have, it was going to be so long before I can get it. So I just took the regular, so the 16 inch.
That's okay.
So whatever. So but it's good. It's basically his rifle.
It does the job no different.
It's like shooting a BB gun. Bro.
It's just, exactly.
It's so good. It's like
100%.
Anyways, keep going. Sorry.
So that's it. Going back to the failure points, you know, when you give a balls out, no bullshit, honest assessment of yourself. Where do I stand in life right now? What am I looking to accomplish? What, once you realize that, that kind of gives you a good read on what needs to get done. And right now it's growing TTOG. Bringing on board some of the best fucking shooters and trainers that I know to be a part of this company.
I had to tell you no because I have the donut shop that I'm doing, but maybe one day I'll, when you invite me to go out there again.
And be your...
We'll talk.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so you're growing it by just...
You know, things in life will only grow as much as you're willing to grow.
Yeah.
And that's that's all it really boils down to.
So take back to what you were saying about the failure and what you get, what you take away from sometimes a string, you know, and going down a path where you're like, damn, that was actually detrimental to what I would been building, you know, and I didn't realize it, is that you now can identify when you start a behavior or something that you're, wait a minute, I know these first couple steps is going to take me down that path. I'm not doing that again, you know, and it doesn't have to necessarily be the same exact thing that happened, but it is a sense of this is going to take me away from the goal.
So I guess the difference now is the perspective shift that experiences like that will give you.
Yeah, let's be clear, because we haven't really been blunt about it. This is nothing that happened at work, right?
Correct.
And this is nothing that happened with TTOG. This is personal stuff. Correct, yes. that you were dealing with for the last 7 months. Okay.
And looking at it towards the context I'll give you will make much more sense. I heard a YouTube motivational video the other day, and man, the guy was spot on. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm walking my Mally, and he says, you will certainly reach a failure point as a man when you choose or fail to choose purpose over pleasure. And that is the same as knowing the difference between standing outside during the day and slowly watching the sun start to go down and enjoying that process, or walking into a room that's lit and somebody just turns the lights off.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that's very different.
Yeah, so it's like immediate gratification of flicking a switch and it goes dark, as to whereas you get to watch the way that it gradually got dark and you got to see the sunset, sunrise.
Somebody should write a fucking book about that, because I just made that up in my head. I was like, that might seem like good context. Perhaps nobody out there in YouTube land.
The way I break it down, I understood it. You breaking it down as you're enjoying that process of seeing that light. So whereas this is the whole grind mentality. Is that you never arrive, because you're always on the journey.
You're not there.
Yeah, and it's the journey that you love.
Nobody's there.
It's not the destination.
Correct.
It's the journey.
It's the process.
Because
that's called being process driven.
Yeah,
it goes back to that old adage: motivation is bullshit. Motivation will get you by.
Yeah.
What? 6 o'clock traffic to get home?
A week and a half of working out in your backyard.
Right.
It's January.
New Year's promises. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get in the gym. I'm going to do this. You know what? The person that's disciplined doesn't have time to sit there and try to keep self-motivating.
Yeah.
They just do it regardless.
Yep.
You just get up. The first step is just get up.
Yeah.
Because if people think that I thoroughly enjoy going to train when it's raining, I don't.
Wait a minute.
But it is what it is.
If it ain't raining.
Correct.
We ain't training.
Correct.
Sorry to.
But
I have to throw, every hour I got to throw in little antics.
At what point can you sit here and realistically tell people what's going to happen to an optic when it's raining if you yourself don't go and shoot in a torrential downpour?
Right, or in 100%
you won't be able
humidity.
To, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. So these are all things where there's environmentals that you just got to train in it. You know, that's why the military will go, been in the snow, been in the heat, been in the desert, been in extreme colds, been in extreme heat. And you just realize, got it.
Yeah.
It's just learning to adapt right here. And stay focused regardless of what environment you're in. It doesn't matter.
I think it's and that goes kind of like what we were talking about, the process. When you learn to enjoy the process, you can just apply that to anything you do and you'll be successful.
Correct.
Just enjoying the process and learning what it is. Yeah, it might suck, but it's the process. And this is cool, because now I take that away. And even though I arrived at the destination of I can now teach this, I want to know more about something else.
Right.
And you continue to grow that way. So just learn to, like a lot of people ask about being YouTube famous or all that stuff? How do I do it? How do I make a good video? That was a process. And I'm still in that process. I'm nowhere near done. But to get to where I was at took me a while. And I enjoyed it. There's a lot of testing. You test stuff out. Correct. Doesn't work.
Right.
You it's not a failure. Right. Even though in somebody's eyes, that video failed. It's not a failure.
You're pressure
learned.
Testing.
Yeah, I learned. I learned about maybe it's the coronavirus that smooth. We did that video smooth. And I was like, this is going to go viral. Why didn't it go viral? It should have went viral. We had dancing tactical people. We had a dog that was transformed into a little puppy. And we had like humor, a badass song. Why didn't this go viral? Forget that it quote unquote failed. I just want to know why. And then you dissect it and say, well, next time I go back and do that, we're going to do it this way. And we're going to maybe do this or maybe do that. So the whole thing about how do I make a good video? It's like my man or my woman is like, hey, this took me a while and I had to learn through trial and error. So I can tell you how to make it, but you know, I don't know if you're going to succeed, and if you fail or whatever, you might just quit, because that's not the way that I look at it. I look at it as, this is awesome.
Right.
I love doing this. You know, let's make this better. How do we make this better? Like this year in the podcast, we're going to go hard on TikTok and Reels. Last time before, we didn't really have Reels or TikTok. Now we know about micro content. So we're like constantly evolving, and it's the process of doing this. This is fun. I enjoy bringing guests on. This is hilarious. We get to talk about cool stuff, but at the same time, we're constantly growing and learning and learning. So
experimenting. Yeah.
And to what your point was, which was way back 5 minutes ago before I started talking, is that you're constantly, the switch is that instant gratification. I can put out a video and learn how to go viral, but I guarantee you, you're not going to make too many more of those videos, because once you do it a couple times, you're not enjoying that process it took to do that stuff.
Absolutely.
So that was just piggybacking along.
It was great.
Piggyback off that.
It was great.
You want to take a break?
We'll take our last break, and we'll come right back.
Awesome.
And you're going to get real with it. This season, we're going to be recording out of our new studio, the Donut Shop Podcast Studio, located in Feds Apparel. We teamed up with Feds this year. You're going to hear more about it throughout the entire season. And if you want to, go visit them right now at fedsapparel.com. You could even pick up one of my cool police car shirts, shameless plug. Go over there, fedsapparel.com, and check out everything they have to offer. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Sure, we're back.
Hey, did we talk about Black Rifle?
No.
You're going to be on the Black... Did we talk about Black Rifle?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Because before this podcast, you're like, hey, dude, I got Black Rifle coming up. What's the deal with that?
March 11th.
March 11th.
Yep.
So that's when it's recording. It's
correct.
So this podcast might... it should be out before March 11th.
Yes.
Well, we're not even in February. We're not even at that date yet.
We're around.
We don't know where this is going to come out, but it's going to come out before that.
Sometime.
So, yeah. So make sure you shout us out on Black Rifle.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Here's a 20.
Veteran-owned coffee company. Cool dudes from what I see. Funny content.
Great coffee.
Maybe we can make some content for them. We'll see. Throw me a plug. It's all good.
P-Lug.
Yeah. Well, anyways, coming back, I mean, we talked a little bit about the growth of the company, right? Or did we not?
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah, we talked.
We talked a little bit about some personal. We didn't get too personal with it, but you hinted at something happened in your personal life
sure.
for the last couple months. Kind of like, if you noticed your content, you have put out less.
Sure.
In the last 7 months, you were dealing with stuff. You learned.
It's also been a nice break.
Yeah.
From putting out content.
Yeah.
But when that time ends. And the dust settles, it's go time.
It's go time.
That's it.
Yeah. So there was you're kind of a deep guy.
I can be.
You think about things a lot.
Sure.
You talk. I don't know, philosophical sometimes.
Perhaps.
Right? You
perhaps.
Have a good little the philosophical the light switch thing you made up yourself.
Undertones. Was that good?
Yeah, it was good. That was good.
That was fucking solid.
Yeah. You walked us the long way around of enjoy the process.
Sure.
But it was a good analogy.
Absolutely.
Flicking the switch.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe somebody in the comments can if they want to publish or I thought it was good. I don't think you need to cut any fat off of it. I think it was good. You could re-say that if you want on the Black Rifle Coffee. I'll give you
License, even licensing though
you
rights.
Said it here first.
Thank you.
Even though you said it here first.
Thank you.
Let's get deep. Who is Chris Koss? What like defines you? You know what I mean? This is deep.
Is this like a certain amount of words or?
Smooth is fast, fast is smooth.
Less is better.
What, like five? Give me like five words.
Five words that define me.
Yeah, so we got short on time. Been going over breaks.
My children.
That's five syllables?
Nope.
My children. Just two.
It's two words.
So you want, okay, five words or less.
Five words or less.
Sorry, okay. He's a Marine. He eats crayons.
Correct.
Okay, so
obviously, I've been on a little bit of a diet.
So your children.
My children.
So that is the driving.
Correct.
That is what life is about.
Correct.
What do you think before? What do you think? Were you just out of control? No. Like, what was guiding you before? Because children are...
Work.
They're like a parachute. They're a parachute. Game. They're definitely a parachute. If you're spiraling or you're doing some crazy stuff or you're high speed, it's a parachute because you're not like, I have something more to live for. Because if I go in and do something that happens to me, it is what it is.
I guess before, not that it wasn't the children, it was a different perspective of how to prioritize certain things to benefit them, meaning time.
Yeah. Time is huge.
Time. You can't get that back.
No.
You can't. And I think that my focus stretched so thin. You only have so much bandwidth.
Yeah.
It stretched so thin between being a full-time police officer, a family man, a father, having a company, doing multiple gigs throughout the country, having worked with Fieldcraft, putting on events.
Putting content out.
Yeah. You know, and it's just me.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Yeah.
So I think that gets to a point where the bandwidth starts to
lag in certain areas.
Yeah, it starts to lag in certain areas. So you get to that failure point and you realize, stop.
Yeah.
Refocus, recenter, and push.
Yeah.
And that's it. There is no time to fall.
Yeah.
There isn't. That's reality. If you fucking fall, especially this late in the game, I'm going on second half here soon.
Yeah. I'm there.
Yeah. If you fall this late in the game, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. You can't. So take the time out. Go drink some Gatorade. Get back on the fucking football field and go do your job.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You're right. And time is huge. And it's funny that you say refocus, reload, all that, you know, every so often you'll see, if you scroll through my timeline, you'll see a post that's like that. I've been very, even now, I haven't put a video out. And I have five videos, five police cars, police vlogs. I went with agencies. I wrote with Highway Interdiction Squad. I have some badass vlogs to put out on my own stuff. But I paused. You feel it. If you don't take a break, and a lot of the audience that watches me is like, why aren't you putting out content? And you, as a content creator, you get a fear of losing your steam, you know, when the priority becomes, I don't care if I lose steam because I'm still going to put out fire content. So it is what it is. My content's always going to be, you know, game changing, dope, you know, but my kids and my family and that experience that I have with them is going to change. You know,
correct. Yeah,
and I don't want to lose steam with that. So if shout out to everyone that's been following me from day one, you know what I'm talking about.
Not squad.
Where I've been up and down. Some months I'm just shooting out stuff. Boom, 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 boom. They're getting hundreds of thousands of views per video on YouTube. But I just sometimes stop because I need to focus on what's going on at home.
Correct.
Pay attention to that.
Absolutely.
And you know, and that's just me refocusing. I haven't gotten away. I just spending a little bit more time because I realized that, hey, maybe I need to be better at this aspect. But sure. I'm not going to give that up.
Right.
This is one of the reasons why we started the podcast again. It's like I was doing a lot, but I'm like, this was something that we didn't want it to go away because it was such a good platform,
Absolutely.
Such a good good vibe we got here, and we're bringing on good people and telling good stories. And I don't, you know, I think I'm funny, but
I'd like to laugh at you.
So I think you're funny,
but some things like this is also we don't, you know, we can go, we're all over the place. We can, you know, play football on the field. We can go tell jokes over here. We can talk about serious stuff over here. That's why I enjoy doing this. But anyways, going back to it is, family balance.
Absolutely.
All that stuff. Absolutely. You can get burnt in
100%.
Life. 100%. You can get burned, but you have to refocus. And if it's that you had to go away for 7 months, you know, refocus. You weren't away. You just were, just take a set.
Correct.
Sat on the sideline for a second. But now you're back.
Correct.
Where are you headed?
It's the process.
It's the process. Mm. So what does that process look like for you? Are all engines a go? Are you firing on all cylinders?
Yes.
Yeah. I like it. I'm excited to see the process. Up.
The rockets are ready.
What do you got?
Watch this.
Ooh. I like it. I like it. So he's ready to go. And we here are excited to see where you're going to go. You know, you always got a friend, a family, some fans over here. He's wearing a shirt. He wants you to sign his chest.
Hell yeah.
He wants you to sign his chest.
I will sign boobies. I will do it.
Always a fan favorite to bring you on.
Thank
the
you.
Donut Shop.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to hearing what you got to say on the Black Rifle.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to plug before we get off here?
No. Thanks for everybody that watched. Thanks for everybody for tuning in.
Yeah.
PTOG_LLC.
Yeah.
If you guys want to come out and shoot me a DM. If you guys want to come out and get better, look in the mirror. Be honest with yourself. Give yourself a no bullshit assessment. Realize why you want to train and then call me. Whoever you would like to train with. But just figure out why you want to train and then have a purpose behind it.
I want to train for some Instagram posts.
Let's do it. Let's
do it. I want to look cool.
You look cool all the time.
Hey, thank you, my brother.
Bearded Nick.
All right, my brother.
Thank you, bro.
We'll talk. Oh, yeah. Justin.
Justin, hell yeah.
Boops on the fist.
All right.
Boop.
Later.
Watch this.
Calling all units, calling all units. Donut Shop has a fresh dozen. Go ahead and take a 1040.